You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl, a community and education platform that empowers parents and caretakers to foster independence, leadership, and strong personal identity in girls so they can change the world. Now, here is the founder and your host, Maria Fuller.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl. I'm the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Before we get started, let's make sure you know where to find me. You can find more information about our education and community platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raising a Powerful Girl. Make sure to connect with us on social media to find out our latest news, learn tips and tricks, submit your questions, and continue our enlightening conversations. And now, let's get on with today's show. Raising girls is not easy, and many of the behaviors and practices that we currently use today are based off of how we were parented as children, but that's not always the best way. When we know better, we do better. My guest today is Sue DeCaro. Having experienced some challenging years raising her daughters, she realized that her passion and calling was to support parents and families in every way that she could to create the family life that they envisioned, deep connections with their children, and an understanding of the importance of a thriving spirit. As the founder of DeCaro Parent Coaching, a private practice supporting parents and families, Sue integrates education, consciousness, and coaching to help families to grow and thrive, revitalizing the joy in parenting. Sue works with families whose ability to function is somewhat jeopardized by one or more challenges. In each case, she helps them take advantage of their strengths to reshape family interactions in a positive way. Sue's training as a parent coach, combined with her own family's experience, enables her to approach every client with empathy and to craft a tailored approach to achieve their goals.
Well, welcome, Sue. It's so great to have you here today, and I'm really excited about our conversation. Before we kind of get started, can you tell us a little bit about you and what led you to be a parenting coach?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I have two children, and one is 23 and the other is 20. And I guess you could say they led me to parent coaching. My journey was pretty rocky in terms of raising my oldest child, who way back when I used to refer to as very challenging. Now in the business that I'm in, I refer to her as very spirited. So our wording can really create, you know, this mindset of what we're viewing our children as and how we're viewing them. So anyway, just to give you kind of an overview, it was a pretty rocky road. Had to make a lot of difficult decisions. Our house was chaos on a daily basis. And through all of the chaos and all of the drama and all of what unfolded, and of course I can share details with you as we move forward, I ended up learning about parent coaching. And I had already been in a career and, you know, had kind of moved into half retirement, you know, half finding my space. And I just was blown away when I heard the term parent coaching and said to my husband, oh my gosh, I have found my calling. Because to me, there's nothing more satisfying than to be able to help parents in this very, very difficult age of raising children. And it's a difficult age for children growing up. So I look at the two and how can we blend them best together to make it a beautiful relationship, a connected relationship, and one where the child can grow and thrive. So it's through my rocky journeys, I guess, to answer your question in a very long way, that I have gotten to this space.
I love that, though, because I think that especially when you talk about owning a business or running a business, a passion-based business is so important. And you've taken your life experience, your own pain, you've been there, you know exactly what the heartache entails, you know, watching your child go through challenges and, you know, yourself not being able to know how to manage it appropriately. And to take that experience and shift it to positive, not only to help yourself, which it seems like it did, but now to be able to continue helping others. And it is very hard to be a parent these days, and we don't get that handbook when they give us that baby, you know? So the more that we have to do so much on our own to figure it out, and it's not easy. So I really love that, you know, your entire journey has led you to this moment to continue, you know, helping others. I think that's a really powerful thing.
I think my journey also helps them. So I find in my parent coaching, because it's so difficult from a from therapy, we can share. We can share little bits and pieces about ourselves in an authentic manner that really help our clients to move forward. So when a client comes to me and they're struggling with something that's very similar to a piece of my journey, because I struggle with many things, then I can actually share a little bit about how I have experienced that, maybe moved through it to give them hope. And I think that that's one thing that my pain and agony, you know, in raising my children and getting to the point where I was bringing more consciousness into what I was doing and understanding things in a different way, can bring to these, you know, these clients, these wonderful people that come to me for professional help. And they leave a session or the first session or just meeting me with so much hope. And that, again, is very important that I bring hope to the people that are really, really having a difficult time that may feel hopeless.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, we've had a conversation prior, and what I love is, you know, that we're so aligned in our missions that there we can create this life where we raise children, where we have authentic, amazing relationships with them, and we can enjoy being around them, and we can enjoy watching them grow up, and we can be a part of, you know, their leadership and helping them, you know, to be who it is they're destined to become, you know, without trying to control and manage that. Can you share a little bit about your story, or maybe one of the hardest challenges that you had when raising your own children, and how you kind of pivoted from that and changed it?
Sure. I think I was well conditioned as a parent to behave in a way that my parents behaved. Children were to be seen and not heard, not necessarily valued, not necessarily having a voice. And that's kind of how I worked, that children should listen when they're told to do something. And it started at a very young age with my oldest, just very, very stubborn. I'm trying to think of the right words. You know, she really had a mission every day, every moment in what she wanted. And so did I. And so we butted heads constantly. And I think probably one of the real moments of change was when I had been divorced, and that, of course, caused, you know, a lot of change in the household, change with my kids. And I thought I did it in such a conscious, thoughtful, kind, and compassionate way, you know, with my ex-husband. And we both did. And of course, there's fallouts, you know, that you don't find out till later. And so I had met a man and carefully introduced him to my children, very thoughtful, very intentional about how this would look. And we, you know, several years went by and we were looking at getting married and taking the kids to the place we had chosen to have lunch. And she would not get in the car in the seat that was available. I mean, this is just what sticks to me in this particular moment. And you ask the question, she would not get in the car. And so I had my soon-to-be stepdaughter, who was fairly new to the family and not as on board as my kids were, and my other daughter, who was 3.5 years younger. So my oldest ran around the house, hid from me, then went inside and locked the door. And she was about 14 at the time and, you know, screamed and yelled and, you know, took the neighborhood down. And that was a moment for me that this could not continue. I mean, that was one of many moments, but this was definitely a moment. This could not continue. I was failing this child when I look back, because I did not see what her needs might be. The place in the car was not necessarily the seat, but it was more to do with thoughtfulness and compassion for what was underneath that, you know, for maybe just a needy feeling that she had in that moment. And so I knew that something had to shift, and we ended up, you know, we were in therapy for years, you know, trying to help her. We ended up enrolling her in a therapeutic boarding school. And, you know, as much as this is hard for me to share, I remember saying at that point in that day, I called her dad and I said, I cannot do it anymore, because this was just one of the many situations. Many were more aggressive, far more aggressive with throwing things and breaking things and hurting people than this particular incident. But it seemed to be the straw that broke the camel's back. And so I have to say that making that decision to, you know, have her a year in a therapeutic environment was really beneficial for her and for us. And that's where I learned a lot about consciousness and conscious parenting, and really was able to shift my approach as she was changing. So, you know, our kids need coping strategies. They need to learn them at early ages. They need to learn how to settle their own mind. You know, I know this now. But we also need strategies. We also need to learn how to settle ourselves in relationship to this beautiful spirit and beautiful child in front of us. Because each one has different tendencies that they're going to trigger or bring out for us. And so we have to understand their nature, what they're about, and then help ourselves to find our own strategies to deal with it. And I think, you know, that's, I did a Facebook Live today where I talked about being the parent that we need to be for that particular child. Not just being the parent, but for each child, they need something different from us. We have to see that. So unfortunately, for my daughter, although everything happens for a reason, it took a longer period of time for me to awaken, transform, see what I was, you know, being called to do, really look at what she was teaching me in a different way. Not why is she acting this way and how can I, you know, coerce her into behaving the way I want, but what is she teaching me and how can I look at each moment as an opportunity for growth? We have to be open-minded to do that. We can't come from a conditioning place where, you know, it's go, 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 do, 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 and this is the way it is. You know, we have to be open.
Yeah, what a powerful story. And there's so many things that resonated with me, you know, at the beginning when you talked about how you started parenting because of basically what was passed on, right? This is, you learn, and we learn about parenting from how we were parented, the good and the bad. And unless we consciously make an effort to evaluate what it is we're doing, why it is we're doing what we're doing, and does that work for us, it will never change. And there's so much that plays into that, whether it's ethnic, you know, cultures, or, you know, traditions from family. And it's a hard thing to be able to analyze that and see that and then move on. And I think it's so powerful that you talked about how, you know, children do need the coping skills. And what I've learned on my own journey, that so much of parenting, I would say, first falls on me more than anything mm-hmm. else that I do. It is more important that I really work on me and my self-care, and I work on my emotional regulation and my coping skills and mechanisms. And I've had a lot, you know, as a paramedic, I learned a lot, but it's, you know, small toddlers push buttons that even major emergencies would never push in me. And the more I learned to start loving myself and taking care of myself and making space for myself, or, you know, taking time for myself away from a situation, if something's going on and I know that my initial reaction could be explosive, I wait to address it as long as it's not mm-hmm. an emergency. But it's really about the journey of myself learning these skills and then passing them on to my daughters mm-hmm. as well, and working together in that way and giving her the skills for the emotional, you know, regulation that she needs, and really seeing, what are your needs right now? When you're acting a certain way, why is it she's acting that way? Is it because she needs food? Is she tired? What emotion is she feeling? What does she need help with? With the coaches, the parents that you work with, what are some of the biggest challenges that you see with them?
Well, you know, one that you just mentioned that I think is a challenge I see with many parents, not just the ones I coach, not just the clients, is the self-care piece. Because we live in a society where we're doing, going, and we think self-care is, you know, something that's a luxury, when in my book, it's something that is a priority, and it's priority one. So I do see that as a challenge with a lot of my clients. They don't take care of themselves, and so they're depleted, and then they're trying to take care of everybody else. And so one of the things that I teach, among other things, is that I don't like the airplane, you know, with the oxygen, because I'm not big on, you know, having that oxygen mask fall. I think that's a real negative thing to think about. So I usually use the car. You know, if we have to take our kids from activity to activity and our car runs out of gas, the kids aren't going to get where they need to go. The same thing is true with us. Our family is not going to get where they need to go if we are not priority one, taking care of ourselves. And so I build that into my practice as really part of the programs and things that I do in working with parents. On a second note, I think the number one challenge that I see parents have is they do not know how to connect with their children. So, you know, whether it's technology, whether it's homework, whether it's grades, whether it's whatever, you know, it's really about the connection that we have, the deep-seated connection that we have with our children that helps this relationship to bloom. And, you know, it's not about coercion. It's not about taking your cell phone away if you don't do your homework. It's not about taking your computer away if you don't get an A on this grade. In my eyes, we're really missing the boat on deeply connecting and understanding the child that's in front of us. And just as you mentioned, you know, parenting and how important it is to look at ourselves first. Parenting is about the parent. It's not about the child at all. And so helping a parent to really work on themselves and open themselves up to being with their kids in so many ways, to step into their child's world, to be open and non-distracted, to connect deeply with their child, even if their child doesn't talk a lot. I have many clients that say, you know, and I hate to generalize, but maybe their boys aren't as communicative, especially in their teenage years. Just sit with them. Be present for them. Don't sit with your cell phone. Don't sit with your mail. Sit with a cup of tea when they come home from school and just be there. We need to form these connections.
Yeah, that's really such an important thing. And, you know, really ties also into what you said earlier about really looking at the individual child. And I have two girls, which in many ways, they're very similar, both very spirited, very passionate, fiery little creatures that I adore. But one, my oldest is very empathetic. She's very sensitive. She's very emotional. She doesn't like loud noises. So even just raising your voice in excitement bothers her. And my second loves it. The more fiery you get with your voice, the more she responds to it. And it was interesting because that's my personality in many ways. And so I would bash with, you know, my oldest. We just didn't mesh well for a long time until I really realized what worked for her and what she needed, and started looking at it that way, as opposed to this is how I want to do things as a parent. This is what works for me. I wasn't getting through to her. And I realized what she needs is she needs time where I just sit on the couch and I said, do you want to come and snuggle with me? And her eyes would just light up, and she would come and she would sit, and then we would talk very quietly about things. And that was such an amazing way I finally found to connect with her, where my other one wants to be tossed in the air or throw on music really loud and, you know, tell funny stories or sing. And I think it's really important. And I think it can be so fun for parents to find what is it, especially if you have multiple children, what is that one thing that you can do with each child that, you know, is special to the two of you, whether it's, you know, sitting down and coloring together, or, you know, older girls, even shopping, thrifting, or something that's just you and them, that you can find time to connect and have that activity where they can start, you know, opening up in conversation and dialogue.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I also have two girls. So, you know, it's really interesting to see their spirits are so different and to understand what makes them tick. And I think that's the thing. We're so busy parenting that I find a lot of parents aren't stepping back and observing. I mean, we really have to observe our children to understand them. We can't just make it up as we go along. We have to stop and be in a place where we can see, gee, you know, this one's very sensitive, and, you know, this seems to work well, and really try on new things to connect, because what we think might work may not, or we think might work may work, but not so great. So, you know, I think that's the other thing is parents have to be open to try things. And as I coach, I do help parents to try on something this week and see how it goes. What are you observing? What are you seeing? How's the connection, et cetera, et cetera. But also, you know, looking at each child and each spirit of each child, understand it. What are the gifts they bring to this world? You know, and how can you bring them out? How can you highlight them? How can you create conditions for those beautiful gifts to rise and shine in their world?
Yeah, it's so important. And, you know, and especially with girls, that was one of my, you know, big things is raising two daughters from everything, from the providers that I had taking care of them to school was I knew they were going to have these incredible, amazing personalities and spirits. And my biggest concern over anything was how to take all of that spirit, all of that uniqueness that's theirs and harness it for them to, you know, be able to evolve to their greatness without crushing their spirits, but still, you know, living within the boundaries of our family morals and values. And it's not an easy thing to do. And something that I say a lot is that to raise a powerful girl means to live with one and understand that, you know, this idea that we have in our head of, you know, children kind of following along and always listening or being quiet might not be the best thing for them. They need to learn to kind of explore their voice, you know, from sound levels to saying no in a protective and safe environment. And I know you talk a lot about raising children by giving them autonomy. And I think that's so important. Can you touch a little bit on that?
Sure. That's something I did not do well years ago. So my kids would say I had rules upon rules upon rules. And in fact, I remember taking toys away from them when the two of them would fight and hide them, you know, hide the toys that they were fighting over. And then I couldn't remember where I hid them. So, you know, and I'm notorious for that. But I think that again, it's the way that we allow our children to grow is by giving them a sense of autonomy, a sense of independence, and especially as they start to push for it. So each age and stage of development, a child is going to need a little bit different of, you know, structure, a little more freedom within the boundaries, I like to call it. So if you look at a box and the boundaries are the box, they need freedom within that boundary. And these grow as they grow. So, you know, as you come into the teenage years, those boundaries based on who your child is and the maturity level and what you know about them, those boundaries will open up. But I think, again, this is where we learn about the spirit of the child. We learn about what the child likes and dislikes, how the child gets along, what the child chooses as their friends, you know, what types of parties they like to go to. And allowing room and space for that is really important. One of the things I learned, you know, way back, well, I actually learned it recently, maybe 4 years ago, but I should have used this way back, is that our children, when they come home from school, I know for me, it was like homework, 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 do your homework. And looking back, I had one child that needed to burn off energy desperately. She had to go outside and burn off her energy. And we used to have fights about this. But looking back, it was the best thing. If I had not let her outside and I made her sit down to do her work, it wouldn't have worked well for her. She wouldn't have been in a place where she could have done that. She needed the autonomy at that time to make that choice. My other daughter needed food. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, her body was just not able to do anything. And so, you know, these are small little tidbits of how to let your child choose in the moment. And again, boundaries within or freedom within the boundaries. So, you know, the boundary may be your homework needs to be done between now and 8 p.m. So when would you like to choose to do it? And so, you know, again, that's how we learn more about our children. That's how we see them explore, use their curiosity to see what the world looks like from their point of view, not ours. So I teach a lot of parents not to look at their children as mini-me's, but spirits throbbing in and amongst themselves.
Right. And the powerful thing with that too is that you're teaching them to make choices. And there's going to be times where maybe, you know, they choose to go outside and play first and they don't manage their time appropriately. And then all of a sudden it's almost 8 o'clock and my homework is not done. And there's a natural consequence with that. And there's a life lesson with that. And this is about them being able to make decisions and deal with the natural consequences of their actions. And they learn for the next time so that we have, you know, children that grow up being able to, you know, plan out their day and their time accordingly or know what it is they need without someone else directing it for them, which I think is really important. And so it's choices are such a great opportunity for us to allow children to test what their limits are and what works for them and what doesn't work for them, but still with those boundaries to keep them safe, which is, you know, always in the back of our minds.
Sure. But, I, you know, as you said, the natural consequences are our children's best teachers. And I do not believe in now. sadly, not when my kids were young. But, hey, you know, this is all part of growing, learning, and evolving. I do not believe in, you know, punishing in the old, you know, manipulating, coercion, you know, get my child to fall into line. I believe that when children mess up or make a mistake, like you mentioned, you know, they don't get their homework done. Either a natural consequence kicks in or it's an opportunity to teach our child. So I see discipline as teaching opportunity, not shaming, not blaming, not, you know, taking something away from them, but sitting with them in a connected way, not within that moment of, you know, explosion or something happening, but in a quiet moment to be able to ask them questions about what they could have done differently. Again, tapping into that knowledge that they might have, the wisdom that they're learning from their choices, their mistakes, things that happen. How could we do this differently? And for me, I think that is our children's greatest teachers, is the opportunity to mess up, learn, you know, what they did incorrectly, and figure out how to fix it or repair it, and then do it. So I have a family I'm working with where homework wasn't turned in for a number of days from one of the kids. And the ownership, I'm just going to briefly share this, the ownership that the child had to take in order to repair and, you know, rectify getting all these homework assignments in. You know, we still don't know why it happened, but that's okay. Only she needs to know why this happened and not let it happen again. She can't seem to put it into words, and that's okay. So I think that they're huge lessons for our children, huge lessons. And I see that in my adult children now. You know, well, they're 20 and 23, so I call them adults, young adults, but they are still learning. You know, I get called with questions, what should I do? I'm not here to answer those questions specifically. What do you think you should do? Let's talk about these issues. Let's talk about your choices. And my younger daughter will say, I just want you to make a decision for me. And I just laugh and I say, I know you do. And I wish I could, but this is not my life to live. I'm here to support you in whatever you decide, but these are your choices. So she hates that, but then you know, she makes the decision and she's 20 and she makes beautiful decisions that are right for her, not for me. It's not for me to be right. You know, it's for her.
Right. I love that your view on that, because your view is spot on with mine. I don't, you know, I tried the discipline, I tried the punishments, I tried the timeout, and I was like, man, you do a timeout, you have the same action the next day. You do another timeout. And it wasn't breaking these patterns of behavior. And I got to a point, well, this stinks. It's a waste of my time because I mean, in many ways, I'm a lazy parent. I'm really big on empowering kids because I don't want to do everything. I want to teach them something once and be done with it, or work on it twice and move on to something else. And I think that's where we got caught up with this concept of, if my child does something wrong, what is the repercussion for it? And this idea that we have to give them a punishment or repercussion for a behavior, where we can sit down and say, you know, not in the heat of moment, self-care first. Most issues can be handled 5 minutes later, an hour later, or even a day later if we have to, and say, what just happened? What was going on in the environment or in the child? What's the lesson here I can teach them? And I think what's so important, especially for girls, is that we want to establish a relationship with them where if they do something wrong, They see us as someone that's going to work through the issue with them. Mm-hmm. We're not someone that's going to shame them or punish them, because there are going to be lessons down the line. They're going to make choices down the line, or something's going to happen when they're older that might be a tough thing. And we want them to come to us right away and say, this is going on. I need help. How do I get through it? And when we focus so much of our parenting on punitive, you know, methods of trying to change behavior, then we start closing those lines of communication where they're not going to come to us. Yeah. Or when they get a job, the same thing. How many people have had a job that have never made a mistake in their life? I worked in medicine. There were tons of mistakes. There were tons of times where I picked the wrong medication. I could have done another one that worked better, right? But we have to take those, be able to be open to learning and to moving forward. And if I was punished every single time that I made an error, then that's when people start hiding things. And it starts when they're little, and it starts when they're little. It's really such a powerful, powerful thing.
I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, the more we're disciplining in the old fashioned way of punishment, the more we're disconnecting. And then the child is lying to us, because no child wants to come home and get into trouble. So they're just not sharing whatever's going on, or they're telling us a lie so that they don't get in trouble. And so I think that really working on that connection and openness to have a child come and tell you anything without, you know, us falling to the floor in hysteria of, you know, annoyance, disappointment, and all of those things that might boil up inside, because, you know, we're human. So a child may tell us something that they did and we might feel something uncomfortable inside. But that's where we need to keep it until we come to terms, as you said, self-care. Take time for a pause. Listen to your child, hear what they did, and say, you know what, I need some time just to process this. Maybe you just need some time to scream into a paper bag or go outside and, you know, run or whatever. But you don't want to react in that moment, because if you react in a way where all that bubbling up is coming out, you're pushing your child further and further away from you. Whereas in today's world, we need our children to come to us with everything and anything. And, you know, I talk to parents about this all the time, because the more open we are, the more we're teaching them through their mistakes, whether it be, you know, tiny little things. I mean, I hate to make them tiny, but, you know, taking a pencil from another child, let's say at school, or, you know, drinking. I mean, as they get older, you know, the situations get a little bigger, cheating on a test. I want my children to come to me now. They're a little older now, and I would love to see the parents that I work with and all parents really encourage their children to share in an authentic way, so that we can usher them, you know, give them some helpful advice and tools, ask them what they think they can do, again, as we talked about, to repair things. I see us walking side by side in the sand with our children. Our children are teaching us, we're teaching them. Our footprints are a little bigger, but they're side by side, not us in front controlling and pulling them along or pushing them down a certain path, but allowing us to walk side by side with the path being our own, whatever that looks like for them.
Thank you so much, Sue. This was such a great conversation. To find out more about Sue, you can find her at decaroparentcoaching.com, D-E-C-A-R-O parentcoaching.com. To hear the rest of this interview as we further explore this topic, please join our community at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
You are a leader and a role model to developing girls. Whether you're raising a daughter or you work with girls on a daily basis, you see the incredible potential they have to make a difference in this world. You know the change we need is going to come from them, and you want to make sure they grow up to be independent leaders with a strong sense of personal identity, because these are the traits that make a powerful girl. So come join our community and education platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com and become a part of our movement to educate, inspire, and cultivate a generation of powerful girls with eye-opening discussions and facts, exercises, and tangible calls to action. We can't wait to see you there.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details. Thanks for joining us. This is the EWN Podcast Network.